Hello, and welcome to the December 2018 InfoTech Threat Landscape Briefing. My name is Jessica Ireland, and I am one of the directors in our Security and Threat Intelligence practice. I will be facilitating today's briefing. During today's discussion, we will cover topics related to cybersecurity, threat actor campaigns, regulatory compliance and legal issues, and threat actor exploits and tactics. Our cybersecurity section covers high-level topics such as threat trends, data breaches, control strategies, and exposure to vulnerabilities that act to broaden your understanding of cybersecurity's impact on your business. Our threat actor campaign section covers topics related to nation-states, cyber criminals, and hacktivists orchestrating campaigns designed to compromise networks and exfiltrate sensitive data. Our regulatory compliance and legal section covers trends in the global regulatory and legal landscape, with the potential to impact compliance adherences or disrupt business operations. And lastly, our exploitation and tactics section provides information related to the tools, tactics, and exploits threat actors are leveraging in their attack campaigns. Today's briefing will be supported by myself, Research Manager Ian Mulholland, and Consulting Analysts Logan Rohde and Michelle Tran. During today's briefing, we will cover the following topics: a cybersecurity year in review, the Facebook breach, using compliance technology for security risk, mergers and acquisitions and security concerns, trends to look out for in 2019. Let's begin.
With 2018 coming to a close, it's time to take a look back at some of the cybersecurity incidents that made headlines this year. Early this year, for the price of approximately $7, a person could purchase a service from anonymous sellers over WhatsApp that would allow that person to get access to personal details on any of the more than 1 billion Indian residents currently in possession of an Aadhaar number. Aadhaar is the world's largest biometric identification system and was created to help eliminate existing duplicate and fake IDs within India. However, for an extra nearly $5, these anonymous service providers would give you the ability to print an Aadhaar ID card simply by entering the Aadhaar number. Obviously, this goes directly against the intent that the Aadhaar ID system would cut down on the number of circulating duplicate and false IDs. On March 29th, Under Armour announced that threat actors had gained unauthorized access to data from an estimated 150 million MyFitnessPal user accounts. MyFitnessPal is a mobile application owned by Under Armour that seeks to help people with their diet and exercise goals. Fortunately, the application does not request or store government credentials or credit card information. The only information that may have been accessed includes usernames, hash passwords, and an email addresses associated with the account. The marketing firm Exactus purchases, trades, and stores a large amount of personal information about consumers to improve targeted ads. This information is extremely personal, as it not only includes addresses, but also details about the consumer's children, interests, and behavioral data that depicts how the consumer typically uses the internet. In June of this year, it was discovered that this database was sitting on a publicly accessible server. Roughly 340 million records were exposed. And then there is Facebook. On September 28th, the company revealed that there was a vulnerability in their system that allowed malicious threat actors to take control of other users' accounts and consequently view any of the information stored within the profile. Nearly 50 million accounts were impacted by this security issue. The threat actors behind this attack are still unknown and may remain that way indefinitely due to the methods used to issue the attack. Hackers used a series of bugs in the Facebook software surrounding the View As button that allows users to see their own profile as though they were one of their Facebook friends. This feature was temporarily turned off while the investigation was underway. These are just four examples of some of the largest breaches seen in 2018, but this list is just the tip of the iceberg. 2018 also saw many other organizations fall victim, including Marriott, FIFA, Saks Lord & Taylor, PumpUp, Sacramento Bee, Ticketfly, Panera, and MyHeritage. According to Chris Evans, head of security at Dropbox, the following items saw some of the security spotlight this past year. First, as more organizations move towards software as a service for security needs, important questions arise that must be considered. To properly protect their data, organizations need to know where it is and how dangerous it would be in the hands of a cyber criminal. For both the company and its customers, InfoTech not only has research on doing this data discovery and classification, we also have research pertaining to vendor security. Second, the cybersecurity shortage is being felt now more than ever. Organizations are struggling to find the talent they need to properly protect their organization and comply with relevant regulations. Third, the vulnerabilities leveraged by incredibly destructive ransomware attacks during the past year and a half have led to organizations giving more attention to regular patching. Fourth, organizations are seeing malicious threat actors sometimes target credentials instead of vulnerabilities. This issue is exacerbated by the still prevalent problem of employees being susceptible to phishing attacks. And lastly, supply chain attacks leveraging third and fourth parties continues to be an issue in 2018. We also saw the GDPR go into effect this year, a topic that will likely be discussed for several years to come as organizations around the world push towards compliance.
Facebook's public image has taken a beating over the past year, and things recently got even worse. On September 25th, Facebook discovered a security breach affecting 30 million accounts. While this number is less than the 50 million initially suspected, it is still a massive security breach and a rude awakening for millions of Facebook users, 14 million of whom are likely to have had personal data stolen. So far, Facebook doesn't know who carried out the attack, and according to Guy Rosen, Facebook's vice president of product, they may never know. Moreover, the social media company has not been able to rule out the possibility of smaller attacks that may have occurred before the major breach was discovered in September. The attack began with a bug in Facebook's View As feature, which allows users to see their profiles as they appear to others. Normally, the View As function does not display video uploaded to users' profiles, but due to the bug, video was appearing when it shouldn't. This error led to a second bug that enabled attackers to steal users' login tokens, which allow users to stay logged into their account so they don't have to sign in each time they want to use Facebook. However, this bug is very dangerous as it potentially allows an attacker to take control of someone else's account. Initially, this already serious threat was doubly concerning as attackers could have used these tokens to access other accounts that users used Facebook to log into, such as Spotify, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Yet Facebook investigations have found no reason to believe that stolen tokens were used in this way. To manage the issue, Facebook logged out approximately 90 million users in order to reset their login tokens. Not all of these accounts were confirmed to be affected by the breach, but the possibility remains, so they were logged out in the interest of safety. Still, 14 million Facebook users had personal data stolen from their profile pages, as well as recent location check-ins and search history. People have gotten pretty used to hearing about data breaches in the news these days. But this breach is a little bit different, since Facebook is likely going to face fines for violating the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, a law aimed at securing the personal data of EU citizens. The GDPR is among the strictest regulations in the world, imposing fines of up to 20 million euros, or 4% of the offending organization's annual global turnover, whichever is greater. We have not heard how many of the affected accounts belong to EU citizens, but with 14 million breached accounts, it's likely to be more than one or two. All said and done, this breach may end up costing Facebook billions. You may be wondering if you were on the losing end of this data breach. If you were, you've probably been notified by Facebook already, but if not, the signs and symptoms are as follows. Finding that your account has been logged out and receiving a notice about privacy after signing back in. It's important to remember, though, that these things do not necessarily mean that your account was affected. Several accounts were logged out just to be safe. To find out for sure if your account was affected, you can use Facebook's security notice page. The bugs that led to the breach have now been fixed. However, Facebook is advising users to watch for suspicious emails, phone calls, and text messages, as these contact details may have been stolen by the attackers. Also, it would be a good idea for affected users to monitor all of their personal accounts. Facebook presently has no plans to provide affected users with identity theft protection, so it's up to each individual user to remain vigilant. It is also a good idea to review what other accounts are associated with your Facebook login. As noted previously, there is no evidence that these accounts were affected, but it's still a good idea to keep track of your connected accounts. Is your organization prepared to deal with a data breach? have a look at InfoTech's security incident response material to help kick your security program into high gear.
With compliance obligations changing continuously, it is difficult to stay compliant with all standards and policies. As a result, companies often incur fines and penalties due to negligence, costing them several thousands of dollars and potential legal battles. Automated compliance software may offer a solution, leveraging machine learning and/or big data to streamline compliance workflow processes. Such technologies automate the compliance management process to carry out a repeatable set of tasks. Benefits of automated compliance includes triggering faster analysis and resolutions to compliance failures, and the ability to organize information in such a way that allows us to visualize and draw meaningful patterns. Additionally, automated compliance can reduce the likelihood of human error. Manual compliance review is a time-consuming process and prone to data manipulation. Therefore, when compliance is continuous, it can potentially eliminate the need to obtain, process, and analyze information from every server, and in turn decrease the risk of reporting errors. Along with the aforementioned opportunities of monitoring and testing for compliance and data visualization and analytics, automated compliance can also be used in compliance risk assessments for analyzing structured and unstructured data contained in documentation and pre-populating the information into a risk assessment template, as well as policy management, for instance, for tracking policies, procedures, and changes in protocols. If your organization is thinking about deploying automated compliance technologies, do consider the following. First, determine whether automated compliance aligns with your business needs and risk tolerance. This involves developing a plan that lays out the purpose, goals, and objectives of the compliance technology, as well as the benefits, risks, and limitations of the technology. Second, identify resource availability. According to KPMG's 2018 Compliance Automation Report, 32% of CIOs and CCOs mentioned the lack of resource availability, such as budget, human capital, and expertise, as one of the top challenges to implementing compliance automation. Therefore, prior to speaking to a vendor, inventory your resources to determine whether automation is even feasible. Lastly, do not let vendors determine your needs. Vendors use a lot of marketing jargon, buzzwords, and statistics to sell their solution. Take all information with a grain of salt and filter what is most appropriate for your organizational needs.
As much as security may be in the news, it still remains an afterthought in many aspects of business and IT. For example, in application development and in mergers and acquisitions, particularly after a deal is done. In a 2017 study conducted by West Monroe Partners' M&A practice with assistance from Merger Market, they found that out of 100 senior global executives, more than half of the respondents in their survey, approximately 52%, discovered a security issue post-merger. 2 in 5 of the respondents said issues after the fact and during integration is their main concern when problems around cybersecurity and mergers and acquisitions arise. In fact, cybersecurity is in the top 2 reasons of why software M&A deals are often abandoned and why buyers often regret a deal. Security gets lost in the mix of lawyers and evaluations of other matters in the M&A process, possibly a reason why cybersecurity is an afterthought. While credit is due to lawyers who will often ask questions around privacy, this is obviously not a full picture when it comes to security. So what do you need to consider when it comes to mergers and acquisitions and security? Similarly to ensuring security is an integral part of the SDLC, security should be a part of your M&A lifecycle for both parties, the potential acquirer and acquirer. Knowing what you're getting into in terms of an organization's overall security maturity and awareness can help prevent headaches post-acquisition. What are the gaps in their security program? What is the reality of the breaches they faced? Who is responsible for security at an organization? Review their policies and procedures as well. It's not enough to have tribal knowledge of the process. There should be formalization. It's becoming common knowledge that data is currency, and any company you are looking to acquire, or if you're the potentially acquired company, should be aware of the level of sensitivity, criticality of that data, and whether it is being properly protected. What's the level of security knowledge among the staff? Ideally, you won't be taking on a workforce that is prone to clicking phishing links and unaware of what to do if a ransomware attack hits. Security awareness and training should be present. Finally, what's required of the acquiring company versus the acquired in terms of dealing with identified security gaps? Are they absorbed or dealt with prior to signing the deal? Are there risks in the acquiring company is willing to accept in terms of security gaps? It's been another busy year in the security sector, and we've taken time to look back on the year past And now it's time to look ahead at what's in store for us in 2019 in the industry. Cloud security. Yes, that again. So movement to the cloud will be an inevitable for a lot of organizations. Crypto miners. Even more of a problem than they were in 2018. Things like CoinHive, WannaMine, using the same components of WannaCry to mine for cryptocurrencies. More privacy standards beyond GDPR, so like the California privacy standard. Ransomware will still be a thing, but it will be more targeted. Kaspersky reported that the amount of those who experienced ransomware between 2017 and 2018 fell by 30% from the year prior. However, those who were attacked made a big splash. So WannaCry, governments in Alaska, and we can expect to see more healthcare and governments as targets in the future. Machine learning. We'll see more use cases, for example, helping with the skills shortfall among security professionals. Automation for protection, for example, auto-patching tools. SMS phishing, so when you are tricked through your mobile device, like through an app like WhatsApp. Passwords, finally phasing them out? Time will tell. Red teams taking the field, so proactively finding gaps in your infrastructure and preparing for breach responses proactively rather than always being on the defensive. For example, services provided by vendors like FireEye and Mandiant, Cyberbit, we might be seeing more of those. And preparing for Windows 7 end of life in 2020. So getting ready for a very vulnerable system once that support runs out and risks in the operating system and apps are simply left unpatched. Upgrading will be a necessity. And something that permeates all of these in a way, the reality is the cost of a data breach will go up, so take note of that as well. This concludes our monthly threat briefing. If you have any questions or need any support, please do not hesitate to contact us to set up an analyst call. And we'd also like to let all of you know we'll be releasing a new product in January called the Privacy Regulation Roundup to talk all about privacy. If you'd like to opt in, ask your rep or email membersupport@infotech.com. That's membersupport@infotech.com. The official launch will be in January, and if you already subscribed to the Threat Intel briefing, you're likely going to get a copy of the Privacy Regulation Roundup. However, if you're worried you're going to miss it, we will have a teaser this month so that you can opt into this product. And this is free with your membership. Thank you.